My parents, my mom got saved when I was a young boy. I was about 3 years old. My dad was saved when he was a young man. I'm not sure how old. He was saved and he was backslidden. And he got away from God. He wasn't serving God. He was into the world. And thank God that the preacher, Brother Wood, came and he knocked on my parents' door. And they decided to go to church. And my mom got saved and my dad got right with God. And ever since then, 30 years ago, we've been going to church. And they drug me to church, kicking and screaming sometimes. But they drug me to church. And I never had a choice in the matter. I had to go to church. And I thank God that I have parents that are godly enough to make me go to church and to make me want to serve God. And now it's the tables have turned and now I got to drag my kids to church. But you know what? It's well worth the burden. It's well worth the problem. You know, there's a small thing that we can do is come to church and trying to learn a little bit more about Jesus Christ. Try to learn just a little bit more how we can grow closer to Jesus Christ. And tonight I got an exciting story. And it's exciting to me. And I've been waiting to preach this message. I've been studying it for a long time and I haven't had the opportunity to preach it. So you all get to hear it first. And if you don't like any part, see me after the sermon. I'll knock that out and that way we can make it sound good next time I preach it. But no, this story is about King David. And we're going to be talking a lot about King David tonight and some things that he went through in his life. First off, though, I want to start in the book of Revelations. I want to start in the book of Revelations. It's the last book in the Bible. And we're going to be in the second to last chapter. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelations. And we're going to be in chapter 20. Now, I'm not going to do a lot of reading about King David. So I want to get some Bible reading in right now, and we're going to read quite a few verses, but I think it's important. And we'll come back to this portion of Scripture, and we'll kind of explain where we're going with this. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. I'm going to read right out of the Bible for us. It says in Revelation chapter 20, before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come up here to share a little bit of Bible with these people, Lord. And I know that I'm not worthy to be up here. I know, Lord, that I'm just a sinner, and I don't deserve to be up here, but I'm saved by your grace, Lord. And I'm a wicked person, Lord, but you saved me, and you chose for me to be up here tonight and to read the Bible, Lord, and try to teach something to these people, Lord. And I pray that you'd use me in spite of myself. Just don't let me get in the way of what you want these people to hear, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to understand what I'm trying to teach and be able to relay it in a clear way. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that you be with this service now, Lord. Just help people to open their hearts. Help them forget the world for a few short minutes while we teach a little bit of the Bible. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Revelation chapter 20. And when I read this portion of the Bible, and I've read it several times, every time I have the same general feeling. And I'm not super, you know, hypersensitive to emotion or anything like that, but I have the same sort of feeling every time I read it. I almost get the chills. I get very anxious. This portion of Bible is prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. This portion of Bible is something that's going to happen. And it kind of, when I read that, knowing that this is going to happen, it gives me a weird feeling. And like I talked about this morning, and if you were here, you know that I'm not real big on religion. In fact, this morning I preached against religion a little bit. Because religion will send people to hell. They need to know Jesus Christ. We talked about this morning. So I'm not this super emotional type person. But when I get this, when I read this, I get a little bit anxious, a little bit excited. And we're going to read this chapter. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan." Man, isn't God clear to us? I mean, God describes him in every way that, you know, we could come up with. "The dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more." Now, this is prophecy. This is something that's going to happen. Hasn't happened yet. Right now, Satan is on the throne of this earth. He's running this earth. He's in charge right now. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is turn on the TV. All you got to do is turn on the radio. All you got to do is walk out to any street and talk to anybody and listen to their vulgar mouth. Listen to how they talk about God, and you'll know that Satan's on the throne. Watch any movie coming out of Hollywood. You'll know that Satan's on the throne. Watch TV for a while. Look at all the beer ads and all the different things. You'll know that Satan's on the throne. So we're talking about prophecy, something here that's going to happen. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and that after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Let's keep reading here. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. One on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is something that's going to happen in the future. Something that's going to happen. I want to skip down to chapter 21 and verse 1. And it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Look over it at Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. And this is our key verse here tonight. 22, verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, I'm going to tell you a story about King David. And this story happens in 2 Samuel chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. So we're not going to read all that because you'd all be asleep. And remember how I told you my little boy said this morning? I told him, "Buddy, you got to be quiet at church." He says, "I know, Dad." I said, "You know why we have to be quiet in church?" He says, "Because people are sleeping, Dad." And I said, "That's right. That's right. We got to be quiet in church. People are asleep." So we're not going to read all those verses because I'll put you all to sleep. But I want to tell you a story. Give me 10 minutes to tell you this story. It's one of the greatest stories you'll ever hear. King David, we all know stories of King David. He was a shepherd boy, right? He grew up as a shepherd boy. He watched sheep. That was his job. He was the youngest son. He watched sheep. Took care of sheep. He was chosen by God, not by the people of Israel. The people of Israel chose Saul to be their king. That didn't work out too well for them. He was chosen by God to be the king of the Israelite people. He was chosen by God, handpicked. David became the greatest king they ever had. David kept them from becoming slaves to the Philistines. David won many wars to keep them from being slaves. David served God. The Bible describes David as the man after God's own heart. He was a great man. David has a son. His son's name is Absalom. Now, the Bible says about Absalom, and you can read it. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 15. The Bible says about Absalom that he was a handsome man. He was a strong man. He was somebody that was easy to look upon, the Bible says. Somebody that people were drawn to because of his strong personality. Somebody that people trusted. Somebody that people liked. He probably had a good sense of humor. He probably spoke well. He had all these things going for him. Plus, he was the king's son. So people had to respect him or else lop their heads off. So he had a lot of things going for him. Well, as he got older, he wanted to be king. Absalom wanted to be king. He wanted to be in charge of the kingdom. So when he got older, into his teenage years and his 20s, he would go to the gate of the city. Now, back then, King David was the ultimate authority. He made the decisions. People would come to him and say, "Hey, so-and-so build a tent on their land blocking my view. I want it torn down." And David was the zoning person. He said, "Okay, you got to move your tent 100 yards this way." David took care of those types of things. That was what the king did. They say, "Oh, well, this guy's using this land for his sheep, and I want to use I want to put my sheep there." And David made the decisions. That's what he did. He was the king. He was the ultimate authority. He chose whether people lived or died. That's what David did. So Absalom, unbeknownst to David, went to the city gates as a young man. And he stood at the city gates, and people would come into the city to go see the king, and Absalom would say, hey, what are you guys here for? What are you here for? And they would say, "Well, he's using my land to feed his sheep." And Absalom would say, "Here's what I'd do." And he was making the decisions that the king should make. So people knew who he was. People started to like him. They said, "Hey, we like this guy. He's making some good decisions. Maybe he's giving them things that probably shouldn't be given to him. Maybe he's saying, 'Oh, my dad owns this land over here. I'm going to give you 100 acres of land.'" And they're like, "300 acres? Wow, we like this guy. He's a good politician. People liked him." So Absalom had all these things going for him. And he establishes a rebellion against his own father, against David the king. Now David, like I said before, was a great man of God. Now we know that David was a sinner also. David did some things he shouldn't have done. David had did some things that you and I probably have never done. He was a sinner. But we're all sinners. We're just saved by God's grace. David was saved by God's grace. And he was a ruler of this kingdom. So Absalom gets together an army. And he decides he's going to take over the kingdom. David's kingdom. His father's kingdom. You're going to take it over. So David decides, "I can't fight my own son. This is my son. I can't fight him." So David leaves. David leaves the kingdom, steps down from the throne and leaves because he doesn't want to fight his own son. He walks out. David goes to a place called Mahanaim. Now Mahanaim is not a very popular place. Mahanaim doesn't even have a king. Mahanaim doesn't have much to offer. It's not the capital. It's nothing. It'd be like the president of the United States going to Los Lunas. That's what it'd be like. King David stepped down and gave up his throne because he didn't want to fight his own son. Because he didn't want to kill his own son. He refuses to fight. He lets the kingdom be taken over. And he goes to Mahanaim, this place of unimportance, this place that he's not king of. He goes there to hide out, basically. This was never a darker day in David's life. David, who was the king, stepped down and left his kingdom. No longer in charge. No longer relevant. No longer making the decisions. Goes to this place, Mahanaim. As he's leaving the kingdom, there's a man by the name of Shimei. Now, Shimei was one of Saul's grandsons. David had brought him in and treated him like his own son, basically. Said, you can take part in my kingdom. I'll make you important. I'll put you in charge of things. Shimei. As David's leaving, Shimei sees him. Shimei sees him leaving. And Shimei curses him. The Bible says that Shimei says, David be cursed. The king's off the throne. And Shimei picks up a rock and he throws it at David. The king. He throws a rock and he hits David. And he says, I never liked you anyway. I'm glad you're off the throne. And David leaves. There's another man, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Maybe you know about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, I can't say that too many more times, so I got it out there now. Mephibosheth was a crippled boy. Couldn't walk, couldn't take care of himself. He's crippled. King David, Mephibosheth lived in Lodabar, not the kingdom. King David heard of Mephibosheth. And King David sent his best chariot down to pick up Mephibosheth. This is when David was on the throne. And he brought Mephibosheth to his kingdom. He was Jonathan's son. That's Saul's son was Jonathan. Him and David were really good friends. He brings Mephibosheth to the kingdom and lets him sit at the king's table. And says, you eat with the king. You are my son. Anything I have is yours. I'm going to treat you as my son, Mephibosheth. This crippled boy. He didn't have anything to offer David. He lived in Lodabar. He was a poor, living in a tent. He brought him to the David brought Mephibosheth to the kingdom and said, you're my son. You're like my son. You come eat what I eat. You take part in what I have. You're my son. Mephibosheth told David when David stepped off the throne, he said, I can't go with you. You go ahead, David. I'll see you later. I'm not going to follow you. Absalom's taken over. I'm not going with you. Go ahead. And he lets David leave. Now there's another man. Another man. His name is Amasa. Amasa, A-M-A-S-A, Amasa is the leader of David's army. He's the captain of David's army. He's the head man. He's the five-star general. He's in charge. He's the big dog, Amasa. David steps off the throne, and Amasa says, oh, David left the throne? He said, I'd better go with Absalom, because now he's in charge. So he defects. He says, I'm going to work with Absalom. So Absalom makes Amasa his chief, his captain, his five-star general. So now Amasa, David's right-hand man, the general, is now serving Absalom because the king has left the throne. The king stepped down. The king left. He leaves the throne. He was once a servant of King David. Now he's the enemy. Now he serves Absalom. Here's who followed David. This is interesting. Here's who followed David. You say, well, Mephibosheth didn't follow him. Mephibosheth was a poor, crippled boy, and David brought him up and made him his own son. He didn't follow him. Here's who followed him. Here's who followed King David. 600 Philistines. Now, if you know anything about David, and you know anything about the Hebrew people, the Philistines were enemies with the Hebrew people. That was their enemies. They didn't like each other. They hate each other. They were constantly at war with each other. These 600 Philistines, best I can track them, go back to when David killed Goliath. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? And my kids no doubt know this, but David was a young boy. And Goliath was a giant. And Goliath said, who can come fight me from the Israelite people? Who will take me on? And I imagine Goliath as being almost 10 feet tall, the Bible says. I've never seen anybody that big, but I would be afraid of him. I've seen some big people in my life, 10 feet tall almost. And he says, who's going to come fight me? And David said, I'll go. And he says, if you kill me, David, my people will serve you. But if I kill you, your people will serve me. And David killed the giant. And these 600 men became servants of David. And now, years later, many years later, they're still serving David. And they follow David. And they say, David, wherever you go, we'll go. Whatever you do, we'll do. Doesn't make sense to me. These are the enemies of David. The people that David had, like Amasa, was his captain, is not following him, but the 600 Philistines are. Mephibosheth, the boy he saved, not following him, but the 600 Philistines are. Shimei, who cursed the king and threw rocks at him as he was leaving the city, not following him, but these Philistines are. 600 Philistines. No matter where you go, no matter what happens, we're following you, the Philistines said. David was no longer king. David was no longer popular. David was no longer on the throne. David was out of sight and out of mind. And because he was, Amasa now worked for Absalom. Shimei now served Absalom. Mephibosheth still lived in the kingdom with Absalom. The 600 Philistines, they go down with David. They go down to Mahanaim, the place of unimportance. That's where they go. Now, a battle rages, and from where David's at in Mahanaim, he can see the dust of the battle. He can see the battle in his kingdom between the men that still were loyal to him and the men that served Absalom. And he sees this battle. And the story goes in the Bible that there were two messenger boys. Two messenger boys. And they find out, and this is a whole other story, by the way, that Absalom's dead. He dies in this battle. He's not killed by the battle. He actually hangs himself by his long hair. He's riding along, the Bible says, on a horse through the wilderness, through the forest, and his hair gets caught in a tree, and the horse leaves him, the Bible says, and he's hanging there by his hair, and he can't get down. And he dies. Somebody comes along and actually kills him. Absalom dies. And the battle pretty much stops. No leader, no Absalom. The battle stops. The story goes in the Bible that these two messenger boys say, let's go tell King David. He's down in Mahanaim, the place of unimportance. Let's tell him that the battle's been won. So they take off running. And one of these boys, you can read in the Bible, is much faster than the other one. And he's a messenger boy. And he runs and he runs and he passes the other guy. He says, I'm faster than you. I'm going to go tell the king. And he runs and he runs. And the Bible says he gets to the king. And the king says, what's the message? And the messenger forgot to ask what the message was. So he waited till the other slow guy comes and tells David. Just an interesting story in that. That's a whole other sermon. But the fast messenger, he forgot the message. He didn't even know what to tell the king, so they had to wait for the slow messenger. Another story, but it's just an interesting thing. And then the message is given to David. And David says, it's time to go back to the throne. It's time to go back to the throne. So the 600 Philistines that are with David, they get in formation. Picture it in your head, like I said this morning. This is not fairy tales. This is not something made up by Hollywood. This is real life stuff. These 600 Philistines, they get in formation and they begin to march to the kingdom. And the ones in front are yelling, the king is coming! The king is coming! And they're yelling, the king is coming! The king is coming! The king is coming back to take the throne. Oh no. Wait a minute. What about Shimei? Remember him? He picked up the rock and threw it at David. He cursed him. David wasn't popular. David was leaving. What about Shimei? What's going to happen to Shimei? Wait a minute. What about Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, the crippled boy. Remember him? David saved him from the land of Lodabar. Brought him up. And set him at the king's table and said, whatever is mine is yours. You're my son. That's what he told Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't follow David. Mephibosheth, the king is coming back. The king is coming. What about Amasa? Amasa, he was the captain of David's army. What? Can you imagine him standing there and hearing in the distance the Philistines. The king is coming! The king is coming! Can you imagine what he felt as it got louder and louder? The king is coming! The king is coming! Man, what he must have been thinking. He turned his back on King David. He said, King David, I don't want to serve you anymore. You're not popular anymore. I'm serving Absalom. He's on the throne now. I'm serving him. The king is coming. The king is coming. The 600 Philistines stuck with David. No matter what. They said, oh, you're going to Mahanaim, the place of unimportance? We're going with you. Oh, you're not popular anymore? We're going with you. Oh, people are cursing you and throwing rocks at you? We're going with you. No matter what happens, we're going with you, King David. We're going with you. Think about these other guys that turned their back on David. Yeah, he wasn't on the throne. Yeah, he was not important at that time. They turned their back on King David. Jesus Christ is not on the throne right now. He's up in heaven. He's not on this earthly throne. The devil is running the earth. The Bible says that the devil is walking about to and fro, seeking out who he can devour. He's on the throne. Go ask somebody out there on the main street in Bernalillo. Ask them if God's popular right now. Ask them if they know who Jesus Christ is. He's only the King of Kings. He's only the Lord of Lords. Ask them what they think of Jesus Christ. He's not popular right now. He's not on the throne of this earth right now. The devil himself is running this place. The devil himself, who God created, took over. He's in charge right now. Jesus is out of sight and out of mind. You don't hear about Jesus. If you hear about God today, it's somebody using his name in vain. If you hear about God today, it's somebody on TV or in the movies making fun of what he represents, calling him the man upstairs, or saying something bad about him. He's out of sight. He's out of mind. He's in Mahanaim. We don't see God. The Bible we talked about this morning, that people are at a point in this world that the thoughts and intents of their hearts are only evil continually. That's all they think about is evil. The king is not on the throne right now. But I got news for you. The king is coming back. The king is coming. You have to make a decision. Are you going to be like Amasa? Amasa said, hey, I'm going to defect. David's no longer popular. And I'm the captain of his army. And if I'm the captain of David's army, and he's not popular, and everybody thought Absalom was going to win this war. So he says, and David's not popular, and Absalom is popular. I better jump ship. Right now in this world, Jesus Christ is not popular. The things of this world, riches, the high life, drugs, alcohol, those are popular. Jesus Christ isn't popular. Are you going to jump ship? Which army are you going to serve in? Which army are you going to be the captain of? You have a choice. Are you going to be like Mephibosheth? And if you're a Christian, you are like Mephibosheth, whether you know it or not. Mephibosheth was a crippled boy who had nothing. You and I are sinners who are spiritually crippled. We have nothing. We can't get to heaven on our own. Mephibosheth couldn't get to the king's table on his own. David had to invite him. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ invited you to sit at his table. Jesus Christ saved you from the land of Lodabar and said, you can sit at the king's table if you like. You can be my son, Jesus said. But Jesus isn't here right now. He's gone for a while. Who will you serve? Will you be like these 600 Philistines and say, no matter where you go, when you go to the place of unimportance, I'm there for you? What will you be like? Let the whole world know the king is coming. Let the sinners know the king is coming. Let liars, thieves, murderers, no, the king is coming. Let the abortion doctors know the king is coming. Let everybody on the streets, the drug addicts, the homeless people, the people that we don't really care about, the king is coming. king is coming. Right now, it's just a distant voice. The king is coming. You can barely hear it right now. You and I, sometimes we can't even hear it. We put our ear and went, oh, I don't know if the king's coming back yet. I don't know if Jesus Christ is coming back yet. We can't hear the voice. One day we'll hear the trumpet. And we'll know the king is coming. And by then it's too late. You should have already made your decision. These people already had to make the decisions in the hard times. Let America know the king is coming. The king is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Philippians chapter 2. If you turn there in the Bible, this will be our closing here. Philippians chapter 2. Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. Or Acts, Romans, 1 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, or Philippians. Chapter 2. Verse 6. Talking about Jesus here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of the servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth and things in heaven and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasures. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The king is coming back. I'm here to tell you. The king is coming. Right now, he's out of sight. He's out of mind. Nobody thinks of Jesus Christ. Nobody thinks that they have to pay for their sins. Nobody thinks that. The king is coming. The Bible says that in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that we should shine as lights. That people should see Jesus Christ in us. We need to tell people the king is coming back. The king is coming. What will you do? What decisions will you make? Are you going to say, David, King Jesus, you're off the throne. You're out of sight and out of mind. I'm going to go over here with the world for a while because it's safer. It's easier. The world's winning. I want to go be a part of the world. They're winning right now. Satan's in charge right now. It's easier for me to be over here, King Jesus. Like Amasa did. It's easy to be over here. You're kind of on your way out. You're not cool anymore, Jesus. It's not cool to be a Christian anymore. This used to be a Christian nation. Not anymore. Now we've kind of removed ourselves from that. We don't really talk about you anymore, Jesus. We took you out of the schools. We took you out of our curriculum. We take you out of history books. You're not real popular, Jesus. I'm going to stay over here in the world. It's more comfortable. Jesus, we've taken you out of our lives. We've taken you out of some of the Bibles we've written. We don't really like talking about you too much, Jesus. It's uncomfortable. You're not on the throne anymore. You're not in charge. It's more comfortable over here. Well, Absalom died a horrible death. Satan, as we read in Revelations, he's going to be cast into the pit for eternity. I know who wins. I know the king is coming back. And the king is going to win. I know the story of David, and David came back, and David sat on the throne again. And David ruled again. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back to rule forever. Amen. Don't be caught like Amasa, saying, oops, I switched sides. King's coming back. He's coming. Don't forget him. Yeah, he's down in Mahanaim right now. We don't think about him much, a place of unimportance. Jesus is coming back. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you still are part of the world, that's the most important thing you can do. That's your first step to getting on the right side, to getting on the side of Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is the most important thing you can do. We talked about it this morning. Religion is not important. Jesus Christ, the gospel, like we talked about this morning, the death, the burial, the resurrection, that's what's important. I believe in God. So does Satan. Satan knows there's a God. God created him. Satan knows there's a God. Does that make him saved? No. He acknowledges that there's a God. Just acknowledging, oh, I know there's a God, that's not salvation. Trusting Jesus Christ to save you from your sins because you as a wicked, evil sinner, me as a wicked, evil sinner, I can't get to heaven unless I have Jesus. Jesus, like David, good picture. David got Mephibosheth, who had nothing, crippled, poor, would have never amounted to anything. A poor, crippled boy, David got him and said, you're at the king's table, you're my son. Anything I have is yours. Anything I eat is yours. Jesus Christ did the same thing for you and us. Jesus Christ said, you're a poor, crippled soul. You're never going to amount to anything. You're going to end up in hell. Wait a minute, I'm going to give you the chance to come sit at my table with me. You be my son. We are not gods, but through Jesus, we're just like God's sons and daughters. Because Jesus' blood covers our sins. Washes our sins whiter than snow, the Bible says. King is coming back. When you're out there in the world and Jesus comes to mind, say to yourself, the King is coming. When you're out in the world and you hear somebody curse God's name and say God's name in vain, say to yourself, the King is coming. When you hear somebody use God's name and call him the man upstairs and degrade the Creator, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, the life, remember, he's coming back. Think in your mind, the King is coming. He's not popular now. The King is coming. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll have an invitation time. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're coming back. I thank you that although right now, Lord, people don't respect you. People don't love you. People don't fear you. People take you as just another person in history, as just somebody that was good. And we know that you're much more, Lord. We know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that you're coming back, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to live like you're coming back today, Lord. Help us to live like we only have a couple hours to serve you. We know that you're coming back, Lord. We know that someday you'll sit upon the throne and you'll judge the lost people, Lord. You're coming back. We know that, Lord. We pray that you'd come in our lifetimes, Lord, that you'd take us to be with you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give us every day, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the invitation time. If there's anyone here that needs to make a decision, Lord, I pray that you just trouble their hearts until they make a decision.